Welcome to Heaven's Talk.
Heaven's Talk educates you on Christianity and religious views. It helps you to understand the world around you.
It's very educational and it doesn't shy away from any topic, so whatever you're thinking, it will talk about it.
Heaven's Talk is on.
Have you been listening to Heaven's Talk?
Who doesn't listen to Heaven's Talk?
Heaven's Talk.
Heaven's Talk.
You're listening to Heaven's Talk.
Welcome back to Heaven's Talk. I'm your host, Rachel Molotta, and I am here with Philippa Hannah. We're just talking about self-worth, and it's just an awesome time here in Sheffield. I'm having a great time with Philippa. You've recently toured with Lionel Richie. Tell us a bit more about that.
Actually, it's kind of going back a bit now. It's the end of 2012, the tour, and it was an 11-date arena tour, which was kind of massive for me. Going out there with a guitar to all those people was kind of scary, but it was just phenomenal. And it felt like such a blessing, really, because I really did sort of lay down my career as a musician when I became a Christian in favor of just whatever God might have in store. And it just felt like a real kind of kiss from heaven, really, to say, actually, I really do want you to share your music with people, and even going to put you in room with one of your heroes. So it was fantastic. And he is an absolute legend. He's brilliant.
You actually did not change your music when you went touring with Lionel Richie. What, you were just singing your songs, is that correct?
Yeah. Just all the same songs. And songs like I'm Amazing and Raggedy Doll have really created a stir. We actually gave I Am Amazing away as a free download on all of the tours that we've been on outside of church. And on some nights, I think at Manchester Arena, there was something like 800 downloads in one night, which to me just shares that there are people, so many people out there who feel the same and who are struggling with the same issues.
Just to get to know you a bit more about what you do beyond your music, you've got a charity, haven't you? Well, not you, but you're an ambassador of a charity. Could you tell us a bit more about that?
I'm an ambassador for the children's organization called Compassion, and Compassion is an international child sponsorship program, so they link people like you and I with children in the poorest parts of the world and link us as sponsors. So we sponsor monthly. It's £25 a month to sponsor a child, and what is really exciting is you get to communicate with that child. So I've got three, I keep adding them, and my husband keeps saying, are you sure we can do this? And God always seems to provide. But we sponsor three children and we write to them, and it's just amazing to watch them grow and change, and every time we get a new photo they look healthier and happier, and there's just kind of more meat on their bones, and they just look like they're really getting on well. So I'm really passionate about that, and have used my kind of audiences to promote that, what they do, the work for Compassion.
So Philippa, before we get into our topic again of self-worth, could you introduce to us another song?
Yeah, I'm going to let you hear a song called Just Your Girl. And actually, this really does tie in with the music career side of things. I found myself out in Holland at this massive festival, and I was playing the tiny, tiny stage. And a lot of people I knew were playing on the main stage, and they were playing on the bigger stages, and I was in this tiny tent. And I had a bit of a, you know, a feeling of like, oh, why is it not me? You know, why am I not out there with all those people? And I just felt God speak to me about it and just remind me, like, it's really not about that. You know, it's really about you being you and sharing your story and using your gifts to serve me and, you know, leave the rest to me. And I just let it go, really. And that's what this song is about.
Is my home, and these hills. mystery. Give me a buzz and I'll tell everyone I see. Give me a touch and I'll take it to the sky.
You're listening to Heaven's Talk.
Welcome back to Heaven's Talk. We're going back into our topic of self-worth. So we're just going to jump right in. So, Philippa, have you always been so comfortable in your skin? You sound like you're this, you know, very confident woman. And how can we get there?
Well, I mean, I have to be totally honest. I'm not completely out of the woods with this stuff, to coin my album title. I'd still have days feeling really insecure. And I mean, as a woman, certain variables, things like hormones, massively affect how we feel. They affect things like your skin and your weight, which means that, you know, during the month, sometimes you will feel more attractive than others. And, you know, our emotions are affected by those things too. So, you know, I don't always feel like the most confident person ever. But I think it's about having like a basic fundamental just knowledge that you are enough. You are enough in God. And he delights in you. And he's the one who designed you. You know, it's all down to him. So I think it's just coming back to that truth over and over again. And, you know, now and again, I do need to press the reset button and think, actually, should I buy Glamour magazine this month? Or do I really need to see another bunch of supermodels in, you know, clothes I can't afford to buy? Or shall I actually just, you know, sit with my New Testament and read some stuff that Jesus said? And that can be helpful, I find.
Awesome. there are many insecurities out there that many people face, and sometimes it's talked about and viewed as something that is very, very insignificant to some people's eyes. They go, oh, how can you be insecure about that? Or people may look lightly on other people's insecurities, and it can hurt people. So how do you feel like we can thoughtfully approach people with insecurities and help them discover how they can get out of there?
Yeah, it's very difficult, isn't it? And I think especially if people are suffering, even with mental illness, if they're suffering with an eating disorder, for instance, it's hard to speak into someone's life when you can't understand their darkness, really. You can't understand where they are and where they're at. And I actually do feel that prayer is so key for anyone who's really struggling with something deep, because sometimes a little spiritual shift can actually make all the difference. And sometimes that's the only thing. Sometimes it is something only God can do. You know, I've got a couple of people who Facebook message me quite regularly, and there's nothing I can actually say. I've said everything I could say to them. I've given them, you know, songs like I Am Amazing. I've said to them, you know, you are beautiful, you're wonderful. I like you, you know, all you can say all these things, but actually, sometimes it is actually God that needs to do the ministry. So I would really just suggest that if you have a friend or someone in your life who's desperately insecure, offer to pray with them, and definitely pray for them in the spirit, because I believe that God can touch people's hearts and heal them.
Individually this year, what can we do? What steps can we take to overcome some of our weaknesses and some of our insecurities?
I think it is very, very challenging, but these insecurities are going to pop up and they are going to come. And I think it's important to surround yourself with the right people. Have people on hand who will pray with you and who will pray for you. And I've got a couple of girls, a girl called Suzanne, who worked for me for a year, but we're still really very good friends. She's always at the end of the phone for a text if I say, I'm feeling rubbish today. And those things do happen, you know. Sometimes you've got something really big to do, you know. Sometimes I have to go and speak to a room full of women about self-esteem and I am having a bad hair day, you know. I always have people at the end of the phone who can pray with me and pray for me. Definitely try and root yourself in scripture. Sometimes it's not what you feel like doing. Sometimes it's not what you feel like. You don't feel like going to God because you actually feel like your heart is a little bit prickly. And, you know, if you go there, you don't know what you might even unearth. But I would definitely say just, you know, hone in on those scriptures. And because it's good to take your mind off you as well. So focusing on God is great. Focusing on someone else as well. The girls in the Leicester Eating Disorder inpatient ward, we got them making rag dolls last Christmas, and as you know, as an encouragement to someone else. And they found that process really therapeutic. And my friend's mum, who was a saint, really. She was a brilliant, fantastic Christian woman who's no longer with us. She's with Jesus, but she always said, you know, someone else has got it worse. And if you're feeling really sorry for yourself, go and do something for someone. Again, it's not easy, but it does work, actually. It really does.
That's awesome. You're talking about these raggedy dolls. You've actually got a song named Raggedy Doll. What's that all about?
I started writing this song, I think because I used to be a huge fan of the movie Pinocchio. And I just loved the idea of this, like, little puppet creature that wanted to be a real boy. And so I found myself writing this song about a rag doll that has low self-esteem and wishes it was maybe a real boy, or wishes it was a Barbie doll, wishes it had extra special abilities like a Disney character or something, but just feels really plain and ordinary and a bit odd. And that's how I felt as a child. I did feel like I was very plain, a little bit kooky. People didn't want to hang out with me, and that's how I felt inside. And in the story of the rag doll, which is the song Raggedy Doll, the toy maker is saying, you know, I've always wanted a friend like you. You know, you are the answer to my prayers. I made you because I wanted to be with you. And every stitch is where I wanted it to be. And I don't make mistakes. I wouldn't change anything. And so I kind of just started writing all these words and using the sort of ragdoll imagery. And I just found that people really responded to that and felt like they could connect with the ragdoll, and they loved hearing from their maker. So that's what this is about. This is Raggedy Doll.
I've always wanted a friend like you, someone I could tell my secrets to, and I would hold you all of the time, just because you're mine. And I could paint your face in a million ways with cherry lips so that you could taste all the sweet kisses I could put your way each and every day. 'Cause you are beautifully and wonderfully made. I don't make mistakes and I wouldn't change a thing. I loved you from the day I brought you home. I loved you since the day that you were sewn. Every stitch, every seam of you is just how I dreamed of you. And so I want the whole wild world to know I love you from your head down to your toes. I love you from your head down to your toes. My raggedy doll, whoa, whoa, whoa. My raggedy doll, whoa, whoa. It makes me sad when I hear you say you wish that you were stitched some other way. 'Cause you don't look like the other toys, and you're not new anymore. I wanna take you down from the nursery shelf and show you love till you love yourself. If you lose a button, I will give you mine, just because you're mine. And you are beautifully and wonderfully made. I don't make mistakes and I wouldn't change a thing. I love you from the day I brought you home. I love you since the day that you were sewn. Every stitch, every seam of you is just how I dreamed of you. And so I want the whole wild world to know I love you from the head down to your toes. I love you from your head down to your toes. My raggedy doll, whoa, whoa, whoa. My raggedy doll, whoa, whoa. Sticks and stones may knock me down, may snap my strings and make me frown. But if you ever find me upside down, pick me up and turn me round. Yeah, sticks and stones may knock me down, may snap my strings and make me frown. But if you ever find me upside down, pick me up and turn me around. 'Cause you are beautifully and wonderfully made. I don't make mistakes and I wouldn't change a thing. I loved you from the day I brought you home. I loved you till the day that you were sewn. Every stitch, every seam of you is just how I dreamed of you. And so I want the whole wild world to know I love you from your head down to your toes. I love you from your head down to your toes. 'Cause sticks and stones may knock me down, may snap my strings and make me frown. But if you ever find me upside down, pick me up and turn me around. Yeah, sticks and stones may knock me down, may snap my strings and make me frown. But if you ever find me upside down, pick me up and turn me around.
You're listening to Heaven's Talk.
We love that you listen to Heaven's Talk. Keep in touch with us on social media. On Twitter and Instagram, it's at Heaven's Talk. And on Facebook, just search facebook.com/heavenstalk.
So, Philippa, on the topic of people who especially, I don't know, maybe it could affect men as well, but mainly women who feel like they're not good enough. They end up putting themselves in situations, like you said, that are not good for them because they don't feel good enough and they feel like they should be a victim of something bad because they feel like they deserve it, or maybe they feel like because their parents didn't value them, they can be a victim of anything bad because they're not worth it. So such people find themselves in bad relationships. They find themselves being abused. They find themselves ending up in professions such as prostitution, things like that. What would your best advice be to them who feel like, you know what, I'm worthless and, you know, I don't deserve anything good?
It's really upsetting to see, and I've spent a bit of time in kind of safe houses or places where women have come in from those situations who have been trafficked, that have been forced into prostitution, or perhaps not, perhaps just kind of invited into it and felt like it was a good option for them because they had no one, or because, you know, they didn't realise kind of quite how much advantage was being taken of them. I think that there are two things, really. Obviously, something has to take place in that girl's heart where they start to realise their worth in God. And I think that can happen by the Holy Spirit and by a relationship with Jesus. And it's a long process. And I would say, you know, in my lifetime, I haven't had a lot of abuse. You know, I haven't had the situation many women have had. I've still needed healing, though, from my own choices and, you know, from various things that happened in my teens. But it is a process, I think Jesus is at the heart of. But also the church can play a really big role in this. And I think girls like this really need family and they need godly men and women around them to show them the way. Because, I mean, what you learn in childhood sticks with you for a long time, forever, some people might say. And I think that you need like a Christian family around you. You need the church. And so, I mean, when I first became a Christian, I moved in with a Christian couple and learned a lot from them, learned a lot by how they lived, how they talked to each other, how they prayed with one another, how they deal with conflict. All these things actually have to be learned. And also, you know, I made a bit of a vow to myself. I wasn't going to get into a relationship unless it was with someone I considered a future husband. And When I started seeing my husband, it was something like I've never experienced a relationship like that. He was such a gentleman. He was so very adamant about us not sleeping together till we were married. Something which I also was adamant about, but him being on the same page was so important. And that was a very healing thing. So I think we have a responsibility, actually, as a church, to be a family to these women. And I love ministries like Mercy Ministries, like City Hearts, which Hope City run, that bring girls like that into their programs and aim to be a family to them.
So would you say then we should go to church, and what's the first step? Is it receiving Jesus as our saviour? What's the first step?
I think so, obviously. Yeah. For me, asking Jesus into my life was the beginning of all of this incredible healing, and the Holy Spirit guided me to a church, I believe, and that is the next thing. I think for me there were three really important things. There were asking the Lord Jesus to be my saviour and giving him my life. Then it was finding a community of Christians that could love me and be my family, and also it was doing an Alpha course, which taught me about Christianity and taught me about the Bible, because there are so many misconceptions, actually, and the world actually feeds watered-down versions of Scripture to you, and in songs even. Even the songs are not very accurate sometimes that you hear that are supposed to be full of Scripture. And so I didn't know the difference between Scripture and, you know, just, like, things like early to bed, early to rise, make you healthy, wealthy and wise. I thought that was from scripture. I didn't know. And I think it's important to learn as well. So it would certainly be Jesus first, who is always, always ready to come into your life and to begin those process of counselling you and healing you. Then it's community and finally learning.
So finally, do you mind leading some people out there who are listening into a prayer of salvation at all, so that they can begin to feel what this whole experience is all about?
Sure. I've never ever done this before, but I would... Firstly, I'll just tell you what I did. And I went into a church and heard some songs about Jesus and thought I wanted to see if it was real. So I asked Jesus to prove to me that he was real, and I gave my life over to him. So there was kind of a bit of an exchange. It was, Jesus, I will give you my life in return for you being real and, you know, you proving to me that you're real. So I will pray for anyone listening who might have heard this story, and if you agree and you want Jesus in your life, just follow what I'm saying and then respond with amen. And then I would definitely encourage you to look up an Alpha course and speak to any Christians you might know who attend church and try and get involved in a community. Lord Jesus, firstly, I thank you for this opportunity to reach out to people out there who might be hurting and waiting for answers, waiting for the truth, waiting for you, the wonderful counselor. And I just pray that right now, as these people are listening, that they will be led by you into a relationship with you. So I would pray something like, Lord, thank you that I am alive. Thank you for giving me life. I'm sorry for the times in life I've made mistakes. I'm sorry for the things I might have said or done, places I might have gone, relationships I might have had that have been destructive. And Lord, I need you in my life. I want to start afresh. I want to be a new creation in you. I want to be healed. I want to be guided. And I want to give my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You're listening to Heaven's Talk.
This next song, He'll Love Me, what's that all about?
He'll Love Me is a song actually about approval. I think it's difficult now, especially in social media age, to not get hooked on people's approval, people's likes, people's affirmation and comments. And since being a kid, I've always found it's really important to me to be liked. So I, you know, that caused me some issues at school and stuff. And I did some silly things, really, in order to be in with the in crowd and have good friends and stuff. But the important thing is that there's nothing you could actually do to make God love you any more, because he loves you so much, and nothing you could do to make him love you less, because his love is unconditional. So that's what the song is about. No matter what people think of you, no matter how popular you are as an artist or a human being, Jesus will always love you.
Yeah.
You're listening to Heaven's Talk.
We love that you listen to Heaven's Talk. Keep in touch with us on social media. On Twitter and Instagram, it's at Heaven's Talk, and on Facebook, just search facebook.com/heavenstalk.
So how can we get in contact with you? Are you on social media?
I am indeed. I love Facebook and use it all the time, and I have a Facebook page. So if you just look up Philippa Hannah on Facebook, you should be able to find me. Also, I've got a website which is relaunching shortly, philippahannah.com, and you can find all my sort of show dates, gig dates on there as well, which is good. And you can also find me on Twitter. So I'm everywhere.
You've also got a book called More. Where can we get that and what is it about?
Well, More is actually available, I think, only through online retailers at the moment. More was the first book that I wrote back in 2007 or 2008, actually, I think. And it is just the story behind the songs on the first album. So as a new Christian, I found myself just really changing, you know, and encountering lots of new experiences and getting to know church, and I still had a lot of questions, and I put them into my songs, and so the lyrics are in there, and the story of what was going on at the time.
Where can we find your music as well? Are you on Spotify, iTunes?
Yep, you can purchase music on iTunes. You can also purchase my music through my website as well, and actually that means that we get a bit more of it, of the money, so that's better for us to keep doing what we do. But you can also check me out on YouTube, and I believe that most of the music is on Spotify as well.